I ended with the following. The best way of assuring the continued and efficient operation of the canal is to help Panamanians gain control over and responsibility for it. In so doing, we could take pride in initiating an action that would reaffirm commitments to the cause of self-determination to which we pledged ourselves 200 years ago. Colonialism was in vogue at the turn of the century, early 1900s, as it had been in 1775. Perhaps ratification of such a treaty can be understood in the context of those times. Today, it is without justification. Colonialism has no place in 1975. We, celebrating our bicentennial, should realize this and act accordingly. Writing that piece was a bold move on my part, especially since I had recently been made a partner at Maine. Partners were expected to avoid the press, and certainly to refrain from publishing political diatribes on the editorial pages of New England's most prestigious newspaper. I received through interoffice mail a pile of nasty, mostly anonymous notes stapled to copies of the article. I was certain that I recognized the handwriting on one as that of Charlie Illingworth. My first project manager had been at Maine for over 10 years, compared to less than 5 for me, and was not yet a partner. A fierce skull and crossbones figured prominently on the note, and its message was simple. Is this commie really a partner in our firm? Bruno summoned me to his office and said, "You'll get loads of grief over this. Maine's a pretty conservative place. But I want you to know I think you're smart. Torrijos will love it. I do hope you're sending him a copy. Good. Well, these jokers here in this office, the ones who think Torrijos is a socialist, really won't give a damn as long as the work flows in." Bruno had been right, as usual. Now it was 1977, Carter was in the White House, and serious canal negotiations were underway. Many of Maine's competitors had taken the wrong side and had been turned out of Panama, but our work had multiplied. And I was sitting in the lobby of the Hotel Panama, having just finished reading an article by Graham Greene in the New York Review of Books. The article, "The Country with 5 Frontiers," was a gutsy piece that included a discussion of corruption among senior officers in Panama's National Guard. The author pointed out that the general himself admitted to giving many of his staff special privileges, such as superior housing, because, "If I don't pay them, the CIA will." The clear implication was that the U.S. intelligence community was determined to undermine the wishes of President Carter and, if necessary, would bribe Panama's military chiefs into sabotaging the treaty negotiations. I could not help but wonder if the jackals had begun to circle Torrijos. I had seen a photograph in the People section of Time or Newsweek of Torrijos and Green sitting together. The caption indicated that the writer was a special guest who had become a good friend. I wondered how the general felt about this novelist, whom he apparently trusted, writing such a critique.